Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Hey!
Music from the Southern Plains drum Thunder Hill, from Canyon Records CD, The Clash of the Titans. Southern style powwow songs recorded live at San Carlos Reservation. The name of that song was Grand Entry. Ashwe, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. The protection of Mother Earth, our biosphere, and the well-being of all life on the planet is the central vision of Yad Kiddushi Native Center. This ethic guides our philosophy and underlies all the work we do. One important aspect of this vision is our concern for global justice. Even now, in the 21st century, the majority of the world's people and their homelands continue to suffer from many socioeconomic and environmental injustices, largely as a result of historic and contemporary forms of colonialism, the term often used now to describe what is happening to what is called the Third World, is globalization. Behind this word is extreme poverty, hunger, minimal or no health care, limited education, labor servitude, exploitation of energy and natural resources, pollution and contamination of air, land, and water, imposition of corporate agriculture and fisheries, deforestation and desertification, poor sanitation, lack of drinking water, and squalid living conditions, among other unbelievable situations. Many people in the so-called developed nations are oblivious to the plight of most of the world's citizenry, who barely survive on the margins of human existence. Many people in the rich nations of the North are not aware of how their affluence and policies of their governments are negatively impacting the global environment and lives of billions of people in the less developed countries of the South. Yad Kiddushi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio is dedicated to informing and educating people about these important issues through our worldwide broadcasts. It is also why Yad Kiddushi Native Center networks with those organizations and events that are also working for global justice. One very fine such organization is Mobilization for Global Justice. We are honored to have on the program today a representative, Mr. Basiv Sin. Mobilization for Global Justice shares Yad Kiddushi Native Center's concern about the unjust world economic system that has been put in place by developed nations, managed through institutions such as the World Bank and International Monetary Fund and the World Trade Organization. The policies and practices of these international financial institutions, which are not democratic, have in fact caused widespread poverty and suffering to millions of peoples around the globe. This economic system is largely responsible for the pollution of our environment, destruction of natural ecosystems, and loss of our planet's precious biodiversity, which is jeopardizing the well-being and survival of all life on Mother Earth. As I prepare this radio program, there is a meeting of the G8, along with 12 other countries, making this elite, exclusive international economic club, the G20, group of 20 countries, meeting in Melbourne, Australia. What will be the impact of the global economic plans resulting from this summit? Most likely, the result will be large monetary gains that benefit international private sector financiers, transnational corporations, and corrupt government officials and politicians. This is an old pattern many of us have fought against for a long time and at many international economic and so-called trade summits. As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio have heard before in our broadcasts, I and many other Indigenous sisters and brothers, based on the scholarship of Shawnee scholar and friend Steve Newcomb, have spoken out about how Western colonialism historically can be traced back to the 1493 Intercetera Papal Bull Declaration. At that historic time, the Vatican, through Pope Alexander VI, decreed in official church law the so-called legal right of conquest of all the lands and peoples of the non-white, non-Christian world. This conquest also justified in the papal doctrine of discovery. 513 years later, now 2006, colonialism continues, although now in the new millennium, it seems a politically correct term is globalization. The World Bank International Monetary Fund, for more than 60 years, has been an arrogant institution that has enriched multinational corporate interests and the politically corrupt elite at the expense of our biosphere and majority of the world's poor. The World Bank International Monetary Fund policies trap poor countries into cycles of unpayable debt. They often impose financial conditions that lead to destabilizing third world economies. Many less developed countries become more accountable to foreign creditors than to the people of the less developed country. The World Bank International Monetary Fund and the World Trade Organization do not operate transparently. Many decisions by the Board of Governors are done in secret. Meetings are closed to the media in public. It is time to dismantle these colonial institutions. Yad Kiddushi Nader Center believes that another world is possible, a world that is based on social, economic, and environmental justice for all. This is why we support the work of MGJ. Yad Kiddushi Nader Center has covered a number of important grassroots actions of mobilization for global justice over the years. As many listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, in the early 1990s, I worked closely with Greenpeace's campaign against the World Bank International Monetary Fund. I've also fought a number of major World Bank International Monetary-funded so-called development projects in the Third World, especially logging, mining, and dam projects. Today's interview with Mobilization for Global Justice representative Basif Sen took place at the 2006 National Conference of Organized Resistance, NCORE Conference, in Washington, D.C. NCORE is an annual gathering of students and youth activists from across the United States. It is now my great pleasure and honor to introduce Mobilization for Global Justice representative, Mr. Basif Sen.
Hello, everyone. My name is Basif Sen, and I am a member of the Mobilization for Global Justice. A few words about myself. I come from India, and I have seen firsthand the effects of the World Bank and International Monetary Fund on a poor country, and particularly on the poor people in the country and on the environment. And having seen that, of course, I'm outraged and I want to take action. Here at the Mobilization for Global Justice, we do a variety of things to organize against the policies of institutions like the World Bank and the IMF. We do public education through literature that we distribute and through organizing teach-ins and film shows and discussions, and we organize direct actions targeting the meetings of these institutions to try to obstruct and disrupt them in any way that we can, and we organize demonstrations both at their annual meetings and at other special events and corporate gatherings and so on. We are also trying to connect with local struggles in Washington, D.C. around issues like gentrification and affordable housing, access to education, access to healthcare, all of which are under attack right here. So it's not just that World Bank and IMF policies are hurting poor people in places like Bolivia and India and Nigeria. They are hurting people of color. They are hurting poor people right here in our communities in the United States. And it's very important that we make all of those connections and organize in ways that break down the borders between the global and the local. Thank you.
Basif, I appreciated you attending my NCORE workshop session today, where I spoke about my past experiences living with mountain tribal peoples and helping them develop media campaigns against several major so-called development projects funded by the World Bank International Monetary Fund. As you recall, the examples I talked about was the Chico River Dam project I fought in the 1970s in the Philippines and the Chicxulub Dam project I fought in Guatemala. As a forest and watershed ecologist, I am very troubled by the environmental as well as socioeconomic issues of large-scale dam projects throughout the world. The Namarama Dam project in your country of India is another serious example. Would you please share any comments you may have about the World Bank International Monetary Fund dam projects such as the Narmadama.
Absolutely. The Narmada Valley is a region in western India that is known for its cultural diversity, its ecological diversity, and its long history. It's a region where there are many groups of indigenous peoples who speak a wide variety of languages. They have their own rich cultures and traditions, and they have farmed in that valley for centuries, for more than, you know, for several thousand years actually. Yes, exactly. The government of India decided to build a series of dams in that culturally and ecologically rich valley and drive out the indigenous people who lived there and flood their land and flood the forests that are sacred to them and that support, you know, thousands of species of wildlife and destroy these thousands of year old cultures, right? And they obtained funding for these immensely destructive dams from the World Bank. And the World Bank gladly provided the funding, and the people of the valley did not take any of this lying down. They started organizing, they started getting together in the mid-1980s, in the middle of terrible repression by the government of India, including armed police firing on peaceful demonstrators, killing them. And this kind of repression happened over and over again, and the national and international outrage about it started to grow, until eventually the World Bank was pressured to start an independent investigation. And this independent investigation, commissioned by the World Bank, drew the conclusion that the World Bank should never have funded this project in the first place. And the World Bank withdrew. First they tried to deny the results of this study, but then there was more outrage and more pressure, and finally they withdrew from this project. But in the meantime, the government of India continued to try to force this project down the throats of the people of the valley. And one thing we must remember is that the only people who benefited from this project were the wealthy living in the big cities, who benefited from the electricity, and then big agribusinesses benefited from the water. And the poor people and the indigenous people, all they got was displacement and poverty. But the government of India continued, and in fact still continues, with this destructive project. And if you want to find out how to work in solidarity with this massive people's movement in the Narmada Valley, please go to www.narmada, that's NARMADA.org. And the World Bank, in the meantime, has withdrawn from the project and has washed its hands off. But remember that they provided a decade of funding, and their money was used to fund immense destruction. So now they owe reparations to the people of the valley. And the people of the valley are demanding reparations from the World Bank. 2 years ago, one of the representatives from the valley engaged in a hunger strike outside the World Bank demanding reparations. Thank you.
One of the important aspects that we haven't mentioned is the World Bank is considered, at least in the West, as a so-called model of quote-unquote development, which I don't consider to be anything more than corporate globalization, continued corporate colonialism, and that we really need to encourage rural traditional cultures to carry on their traditional ways of life, incorporating some aspects of modern science and technology. But I don't really buy this whole idea of why so-called third world countries should follow a so-called development model that is based on disrespect of culture and the exploitation of energy and natural resources, what we as native people say, Mother Earth.
Absolutely. What is more, this form of corporate colonialism and corporate globalization forces us to be dependent. While previously we had communities who would grow their own food and, you know, provide employment for everyone within the community and have means of sharing and communal property and so on, this so-called process of development does violence to our self-reliance in the name of integrating us with the global market economy. What it does is makes us dependent. It destroys our self-reliance. It prevents us from being able to feed ourselves and look after ourselves. And it destroys our institutions with which we used to be able to care for each other and support each other. And that's what this is all about.
And not only care and support each other, but also care and protect the natural ecology, the forest, for example. A lot of the so-called World Bank development projects, especially in the agricultural sector, is always, from their marketing, portrayed to be something that will help food self-sufficiency or will be a benefit for so-called more yield or whatever crop they're talking about. And yet if you look at the World Bank, say with dam building, many times the watershed, the life expectancy of the dams don't last because of siltation, for example. The other aspect is the energy doesn't go into rural agriculture but goes into electricity for mining or logging, for example. In other words, exploitive, extractive energy and natural resources. Would you talk about how the World Bank tends to lie and deceive and market themselves as a so-called voice for the poor, but is really the ones that is, in many cases, responsible for poverty and the destruction of the environment?
Absolutely. For decades, the World Bank marketed itself as an organization that is trying to solve the problem of world poverty. And then once people started pointing out to them that their effects were actually the reverse, that they were making people poorer, then they said, oh, we are trying to change. And what they changed was their rhetoric. They changed nothing in substance. I'll give you one concrete example. Under a lot of pressure from people worldwide, they set up this thing called the Extractive Industry Review, which looked at the effects of World Bank loans in mining, oil and gas, logging sectors, the so-called natural resource extraction sectors. And what this study found was that where there has been loans and investment in mining and logging and oil and gas and extractive industries, the poor people there, far from benefiting from this investment, have actually become poorer. So oil industry money flows into a country and people become poorer. And this link was shown systematically by a study done by the World Bank themselves. Then the World Bank refused to implement the results of this extractive industry review. So they're trying to have it both ways. When they first set up the study, they point to it and say that, look at us, we are changing. We are listening to the voices of global civil society and we are trying to change our policies for the better. And then, once the study results come out, then it's business as usual.
Out of the blood of the poor, you say let market forces do that fine job. You are more than the world's greatest train. How can we be silent with so much at stake? Laws were just made for the people to break. We can try to dictate the entire world's fate, but we are 6 billion and you are only
CD entitled If All the Land Would Rise. The name of the song is Only Eight, referring to a group of eight industrialized countries who met in 2001 in Genoa, Italy, for a global economic summit. Ethan performed this special song at this year's 2006 Encore gathering. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushi Native Center. My guest today is Mr. Basif Sen, spokesperson for Mobilization for Global Justice. MGJ is a Washington, D.C.-based group that works on issues of global economic, social justice, and sustainability. MGJ works to expose and change the institutionalized violence wrought by international finance institutions such as the World Bank, International Monetary Fund, and World Trade Organization. Yad Kiddushi Native Center shares in the MGJ belief that another world is possible and necessary, a world that has respect and reverence for all life. Basif and I are participating at the 2006 National Conference of Organized Resistance Encore Gathering. Encore is an annual event where students and youth activists from across the country come together to network and support each other in a diversity of justice issues. Basif, earlier in today's program introduction, I mentioned how the current global economic system, developed and managed by a select group of mostly industrialized countries, such as the United States, have controlled international trade and commerce for many years through a number of financial institutions and policies, such as the World Bank and International Monetary Fund and the World Trade Organization. To me, this world economic order is a rigged game, much like a house casino that deals all the cards. The World Bank, International Monetary Fund, and World Trade Organization do not operate out in the open. Trade and investment decisions, such as GATT, NAFTA, etc., are largely done behind closed doors, where financial institutions, multinational corporations, so-called aid agencies, and government officials transact their business secretively with little scrutiny by the press or public. What is termed development is in actuality continued exploitation. Would you please comment on how this global economic system is really the most current form of colonialism?
If you put the World Bank, International Monetary Fund, World Trade Organization, etc., in a historical context, then you can see that really their policies are a continuation of a process that has been going on for several hundred years. You could trace it back. It is a continuation of the same process of colonialism and genocide that started, let's say, when Columbus landed in the Americas. Because if you look at this process of colonialism, what it was about was to extract natural resources, to get access to the labor of the peoples who lived in these colonized areas, and to extract their labor for free, or at least for very cheap, and to use the colonized areas as a market for the product of the colonizers. What we see under the policies of the World Bank and the IMF is the exact same thing. For instance, the so-called policies of free trade that they impose require countries to open up their markets to products exported by the rich countries. So once again, we see poor countries as being reduced to markets for the products of rich countries. Then, opening up forest areas, let's say, in poor countries to mining and logging operations, what is that? Extraction of natural resources of colonies for the colonizer. And then you have the World Bank and the IMF requiring countries to attract foreign investment by giving subsidies to multinational corporations to set up these so-called free trade zones where labor can be exploited very cheaply. Well, what is that? No environmental protection, no restrictions on pollution, no safety regulations for the workers who work there. And that is a continuation of processes like slavery and plantation agriculture dating back to colonial times. So, in effect, very little has changed. It is a continuation of the political economy of colonialism.
I was riding on my pony, hunting bison on the plains, when a moccasin telegraph reported something strange. There was someone building lodges made with stone and logs. They had bushes on their faces and funky looking dogs. They were loading off big bundles from triple wide canoes, full of trading items out of sight. Creation sang the blues. Tomorrow's our grand opening. Grab your ropes and furs. We'll wheel and deal and feast and drink until you engines purr. Oh, we didn't know shopping. We didn't go shopping. We didn't start shopping till the Hudson's Bay Company. With horses and dogs, a pile of skins, it was unfamiliar territory we had wandered in. A bushy-faced Napiquan said, sit, we'll smoke and drink. As we prepared our sacred pipes and Napiquan just went. When the smoke was over, they said, got a gift for you that'll fill your head with visions, make you strong and happy too. We didn't quite know what to think before we drank that rum. Was fire, water, devil, starter, rabbit on the run. They got us ready for shopping. They got us ready for shopping. Yeah, we were ready for shopping at the Hudson's Bay Company. Beans, denim jeans, iron awls, musket balls, powder horns and pretty shawls, blankets, buttons, bolts of flannel, silver bells and tallow candles, sugar flour, dark molasses, colored beads and looking glasses, pale ale, gin and brandy, fine wine and hard rock candy, riding
service was awful handy. Oh, we couldn't stop shopping.
No, we couldn't stop shopping.
We wouldn't stop shopping. We wouldn't stop shopping. We couldn't stop shopping at the Hudson's Bay Company. Now we got spandex, Gore-Tex, Nike Airs, gummy bears, ceiling fans, frying pans, turkey veal, shrimp or spam, sales cycle, sports rackets, rollerblades and jean jackets, keyboards to surf the net, on a tidal wave of debt, MasterCard, Visa card, Christopher Columbus card, American Espresso, Lord, every kind of card, oh, we can't stop shopping.
Oh, we can't stop shopping.
We can't stop shopping.
We can't stop shopping.
We can't stop shopping at the Hudson's Bay Company.
To you somehow about a trade agreement that soon you will all know, and the meeting of trade bureaucrats in Canada, Iowa. In April of 2001, the city of Quebec, bureaucrats and corporate reps whom we did not elect, from 34 nations they will come at a secret meeting's goal. To change the world without consent in Canada, Iowa. The agreement that they're making's called the FTAA. Free trade area, home of the Americas, so you'll hear them say. But there's nothing free about it, as I will have you know. They'll be taking away our freedom. They will open up the markets of the nations and the towns, so that every corporation can move their plants around. They can pay the lowest wages and watch their profits grow, while they export exploitation to Brazil and Mexico. They will tell us that their free trade is good for everyone. They will say that open markets will make the whole world one. Sweatshop, one exploitation zone. They'll buy and sell the whole wide world in Canada, Iowa. And when they're done, it will be difficult to take back what they stole. To convince us to hand over our freedom is their goal. They will tell you it's salvation, then they'll privatize your soul. The evangelists of capital. Privatize our water and our schools and all our seeds, so that someone can make millions off of every human need. They will mine us and they'll strip us till we've nowhere left to go. That's the dirty plan they're cooking up in Canada, Iowa. And all of this is happening with none of our consent. They've mobilized their forces to silence our dissent. In a fortress guarded by 5,000 police on patrol, outside the fate of all our lives in Canada, Iowa. But there's another story happening in the city of Quebec. Folks up there in Canada have had it to their necks. They've organized and mobilized and invited us to go. Join them to protest this mess. So in April we will travel to these meetings in the north. If they stop us at the borders, we will fight for all it's worth. For the right to raise our voices You bureaucrats and corporations, you better watch your backs. We'll be tearing down your fences with La Casa y La Clac. We'll be coming north in April, and then we'll be quite a show when we crash your party up in Canada, I.O.
Music from singer-songwriter Ethan Miller from his CD entitled In Times of War. The name of the song is FTAA, Free Trade Agreement of the Americas, commemorating the 2001 protest in Quebec City, Canada, against the Free Trade Agreement of the Americas International Economic Summit. The song previous to that was Blackfeet musician Jack Gladstone from his Noble Heart CD. The name of that song was Hudson Blues. In 1793, the Hudson's Bay Company established the first trading post in Blackfeet country. Hudson's Bay, as a colonial company, forever changed Indian country. My guest today in Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, is Mobilization for Global Justice spokesperson, Basif Sen. MGJ is a fine organization that works with social, economic, and environmental justice through activist campaigns exposing the violence perpetrated by international financial institutions such as the World Bank, International Monetary Fund, and World Trade Organization. This is a serious issue of concern to us here at Yad Kiddushi Native Center, which has also fought against World Bank, International Monetary Fund, so-called development projects throughout the world. Basif, I want to again thank you for speaking with us here on Wolf Mountain Native Radio, as well as providing information here at the 2006 National Conference of Organized Resistance. Participating here at this national activist gathering, as well as networking with MGJ and other global justice campaigns, gives me a sense of encouragement that indeed another world is possible, a world where all life is respected and honored. I would like my last question to focus on this hopeful belief that you and I and many others are working for. Throughout the world, there is a growing global justice movement, challenging the old colonial system of global politics. People of color and the poor are unifying and fighting against globalization, especially the unjust world economic order. International meetings such as the World Social Forums, protest against World Bank, International Monetary Fund, and the World Trade Organization, and the struggles of indigenous peoples' fight for sovereignty and self-determination are examples of resistance against empire. Would you please share any thoughts you may have about the future for global justice?
There is a truly inspiring movement of people in every corner of the world fighting on these related issues of colonialism and globalization. And increasingly, these movements are interconnected and they are networking with each other, and they are struggling on issues as diverse as fighting water privatization in Bolivia or occupying land in Brazil to give it back to landless farmers, or fighting dam projects in India like I talked about, or communities of farmers getting together to farm communally in South Africa, or again in South Africa, poor people in poor communities reclaiming water and electricity. So there is a truly inspiring movement, and it gathers together at forums such as the World Social Forum that happens in different parts of the world every year, like this year. Yeah, this year it happened in three different places, actually, in Venezuela, in Mali in West Africa, and then next month in Karachi in Pakistan, there will be World Social Forum gatherings. Last year there was a World Social Forum in Brazil. Year before that there was a World Social Forum in India. Year before that there was a World Social Forum again in Brazil, and so on and so forth.
Get up, stand up for your right. Get up, preacher man don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's a more that Peter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Sky, take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you will look for yours on earth. And now you see the light, you stand up for your rights. Yeah.
Get up, stand up,
jump, jump.
Stand up for your rights.
Sick and tired of your ism, schism, game, dine and go to heaven in a Jesus name, Lord. We know and we understand, Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So now we see the light.
What you gonna
we gonna do? Stand up for
yeah,
a right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You better get
up.
You are listening to Yatkidichi Native Center's Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
The song you heard prior to our Yatkidichi Native Center program identification was the classic reggae song, Get Up, Stand Up, from the CD, The Best of Bob Marley and the Wailers. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. I want to again thank today's program guest, Mr. Basif Sen, from Mobilization for Global Justice. To learn more about MGJ, visit their website, www.globalizethis.org. We also encourage all of our worldwide listeners to learn more about Yatkidichi Native Center by visiting our website, www.yatkidichi.org. Once again, visit Yatkidichi Native Center's website, www.yatkidichi.org. Thank you for listening and sending in all your nice letters of support. We shall conclude today's program with music from the Andes. The band is Malku, and the song is from their CD entitled Mirror of the Andes. It is a traditional song from what's now called Ecuador. The title is Nunca Yacta. Ho, can anyone talk us in to all of our relations?
Thank you.